Welcome. This is the podcast of Care Austria with Andrea Barstorff-Hager.
A warm welcome to our Care in Action podcast, which today is produced in a very special location. We are in the capital of Bosnia-Herzegovina. Care Austria is at the moment visiting Sarajevo. And we are here for a very good reason, because already in 2013, we started a youth project, a regional youth project. It was called the Young Men Initiative. It's quite famous now in the whole region. As I said, it is a youth project, and it is taking place not only in Bosnia-Herzegovina, but as well in Serbia and in Northern Macedonia, and also in the Kosovo. And this is done in cooperation with seven local partner organizations. And you have to imagine that nearly 50,000 young people from 11 to 30 years old, they are in elementary schools, in high schools, in universities, and also working in communities. And they are mobilizing themselves, their friends, their peers, their families, their own generation to make change happen. And I'm very proud and happy that one of these young people here in Sarajevo, he's the guest in today's podcast. A very warm welcome to you, Adi.
Thank you so much for the warm welcome. It's a pleasure being here.
Super. It's also our pleasure. And as always, I will introduce him very quickly. His full name is Adi Ferisovic. He was born and raised here in Sarajevo. He is 17 years old and he is attending the dental high school here in Sarajevo. And I had the opportunity to meet him and his peer group from his school. And he will explain now briefly what this project, which I want to mention it again, is financed by the Austrian government, by the Austrian Development Agency, what this project really means to him and how he learned about it, how it all started. Adi.
Okay. It all started in November 2021 when our school director introduced us to the project. She came one day to the class and said, "Oh, I need 3 volunteers from your class to come that Saturday to some education." We didn't know what the education was about. We knew that we have to show up there and, okay, it will be fun. Okay, I didn't have anything better to do that Saturday. So I decided to come. Okay, I can only learn some new skills.
So you were 15 then, right?
Yeah, I was I was 16 then, okay. Then. And that was a life-changing decision. Because first of all, when I came to the education, first of all, I was really afraid. I mean, because I was a victim of bullying for so many years back in elementary school because of my different appearance, different hairstyle, different way of thinking. I was always a black sheep in my peers' community. I was always afraid to be judged. And when I came to the education, I saw that everybody was relaxed, that everybody talked to each other, and everything was amazing. We started the education by introducing ourselves, and I saw that every single person on the education was different, and nobody was a stereotypical child from Bosnia. I was so relieved because I saw that my opinion matters. For the first time in my life, I can tell everything that I want, everything that's on my mind, and not to be judged. I felt like a superhuman, because I had the privilege to meet those amazing new people that now I call my friends.
I would like to go back to what you said in the beginning, that you were bullied already in elementary school because of, you said it yourself. I mean, just for all our listeners out there, opposite of me is sitting a very good looking young man, and I don't have any idea why he might have been bullied. The only thing that might be a little bit special, but this is also really good looking, he has quite long hair. I don't assume that this is a reason for bullying a young child. Was it really?
In my case, it was, because I was in a stereotypical community. In my case, my peers were bullying me because I wasn't like them. Mm-hmm. And they thought, oh, he is a weak link in our society, in our community, and we have to bully him because he's different. Because here in Bosnia, children are raised in this old-fashioned, typical, stereotypical family. Okay, men have to dress the certain way. They have to do things like that. If a man has a long hair, he needs to be judged. Okay, he is dressed like a woman because of his hair. I mean, that's wrong, and we have to change that. We have to change our mentality because it's, first of all, it's rude. Second of all, it can really make a huge impact on the child, because if a kid is 12 or 13 years old and you come in your classroom and you do something, and everybody, instead of supporting you, starts bullying you and calling you girls' names, and starts telling you, oh, tomorrow, Adi, you should take your mother's skirt and put it on yourself. Please, tomorrow do that and put some makeup on. So you give a full picture of a woman. I mean, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
That made a huge impact on me. I was so afraid to come to school, because I saw a real presence of violence. They never
stopped.
No, they never stopped, and they never used physical violence, thank God. But they used psychological violence, and that was really scary, mm-hmm. scary for me. Because I didn't know how to deal with that.
So Adi he shared with us really the core of this project. It sounds a bit complicated, but this project should transform gender norms. And what Adi shared with us showed typically one of the gender norms that is not present only here in Sarajevo and Bosnia. This you can find in all the countries throughout the world, I would say, that there are certain patterns and expectations that children have to follow and stick to. Otherwise, they risk being exposed to bullying or to violation or to psychological violence, which is also a very cruel sort of violence. And in Adi's case, if we talk about long hair, we don't talk about anything else. As I said, he's really a good-looking young man. And he suffered a lot from that. And as far as I understood it, and you said it, when you joined this club of this project, which is financed by this project, he met different young people, right?
Yeah, people with different backgrounds. And they started respecting me for who I really am, not by my physical appearance, because that doesn't mean anything. Some people are good looking, but they don't know how to speak and they don't have social skills. But those types of people are popular now. Oh, he looks like that. Oh, he has that brand of shoes on his or her feet. And he is a popular child here. And nobody now, I don't mean like nobody, but many people don't appreciate what's really inside of person's head. They appreciate his style. They appreciate how much money does he have, he or she has, but they don't appreciate what's really inside their mind.
But your parents also have, they always have supported you, right?
Yeah.
So in the family, everything was fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not not the right expression, but in your classes, with your peers, with friends of your age, it was a bit difficult until you joined this club.
Until I started high school.
Okay.
When I started high school, everything changed. I was accepted into the community. I wasn't judged about anything because nobody knew me.
Mm-hmm.
I showed my real face. I helped people as much as I could. They need help with, for example, Bosnian language, mm-hmm. English language. Oh, Adi helps them. They need something. I help them. And then I got a reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Adi is a good child. He's a hardworking man. And he is great. Not like, oh, Adi is a girl because mm-hmm. he has a long hair.
Yeah, this is really stupid.
Yeah, that's
so
stupid.
So you're a peer educator now, are you?
Yeah.
So explain what a peer educator is doing briefly.
On the first education that I was attending in November 2021, we were introduced with the program Y.
Mm-hmm.
That is a program that's meant for peers to go through, and they become peer educators.
And Y stands for youth, right?
Youth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On that first education, we went through the basic program to become peer educators. We got some tips on public speaking, and we went through some workshops, for example, violence, drugs, alcohol, sexual and reproductive health.
Mm-hmm.
We got books. Every single member got a book that's basically a manual how to do certain workshops. We do those workshops in our schools every week on different subjects,
mm-hmm.
ranging from violence, drug abuse, sexual and reproductive health. And it's really amazing because we, the peers, can make a huge impact on somebody. We come to the class. On the first education that I was that I was the host of, everybody was, oh, that's something new in this old-fashioned school system. Because in our formal education, we use a plan and program that was made in the 90s, and nothing changed. I mean, since the 90s, the world went through like three technological revolutions, but we still do stuff in our school that was modern in the 90s. Today, a dental technician works with 3D printers,
mm-hmm.
and 3D scanners and CNC machines. Mm-hmm. But no, in our dental high school, we still do things old-fashioned way. And that really annoys me because when we have a class, for example, about dental technician practice, we do something and our teacher says, oh, you do this right now, but this is obsolete. You mm-hmm. don't do this anywhere anymore in real life. Mm-hmm. But we have to go through the protocol. Mm-hmm. Nobody mentions 3D printers. Nobody mentions CNC machines. People are still, some of the teachers are still convinced. Basically, they told us that last week. Oh, I still think that there is nothing that can beat a human hand. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
We have proven evidence that
A machine that has millimeter accuracy can make you mm-hmm. a full set of teeth mm-hmm. in a matter of minutes. And you say, oh, that's that the human hand is somehow better. But humans have emotions and they can be in a bad mood and they can mess something up because we're humans. And you say, okay, that's better than machine. Okay.
So you see what these engaged young people are learning in these youth clubs. They learn to speak up. They learn to question even their own school system, which is a good thing because as Adi explained quite impressively, in the last 30 years, the world is not the same as it was before, and it is good that things are changing. But of course, it is a challenging task for teachers, for everybody, to keep up with the speed of development in all the different subjects and in all the different topics. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the youth club, and you mentioned it, and I want to repeat it because this is really important. Many young people, also in Austria, face problems when they want to learn more and to talk about sexual reproductive health issues, for example, how their own body works. We know that there are lots of issues, especially in young ages, around this whole topic. Then the second big question is about the stereotypes, male, female, and connected to it, also gender-based violence, which is an issue in some families, also in our own country. And when people start being educated early enough, there is a good chance that they can change something for their own lives and for their own society. The third thing that Adi experienced himself very badly is what we call bullying, and to a certain extent it happens not only to young children, it can happen also in work life later. So if young people are well equipped and learn how to accept different opinions, different appearances, different beliefs, yeah, then it is really key also for their later life. So there's a huge set of qualifications and tools that these young people are practicing, learning and discussing in these youth clubs. And it is really impressive to see that you do that in addition to your school education, yeah, which is a full-time occupation. Job. It's a full-time job, right?
Yeah, and it's really difficult. It's really difficult to focus. For example, most of the days we have six or more classes a day. That's mm-hmm. basically coming in school around 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. and finishing at 7. Mm-hmm. I'm a really hardworking young man and I really want to make a difference. And I want everybody to say good things about me. But sometimes the pressure is just enormous. My mental health is more important to me sometimes, always, than school.
Mm-hmm. Just for clarification, here in Bosnia, they have a shifting system. So I don't know, is it weekly or bi-weekly?
No. In our school, in dental high school, we are the first shift in first and second grade.
Yeah.
And third and fourth grade are always second shift. And sometimes, some days, like on Fridays, we have a third shift that's basically from 10 in the morning until 3:30 in the afternoon.
Okay, just not to confuse our listeners, there are two shifts. One is in the morning and one is in the afternoon. And it depends on the school type you go, whether you are first or second shift. Adi, I'm really thankful that you shared so many aspects of this program with us, because you talked about mental pressure, which is a topic in education, of course. You talked about outdated, old-fashioned ways of learning. I think this applies not only to the young generation, but to all of us, that we have to adapt our ways of working, our ways of learning, of cooperating. And I have to admit that I'm really impressed how much you think about so many serious topics and how you deal with them and how you self-educate and how you help peers to also grow. And I'm really impressed, and I thank you, Adi from Sarajevo, that you shared so many interesting thoughts with us. Thank you
so much. It was a pleasure being on this podcast, and I hope to see and I hope to be a guest sometime in the future again.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. This was Care in Action, the podcast of Care Austria with Andrea Barstorff-Hager. For further information, go to care.at. Sponsored by CC Real.